Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome back to TVI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean here.
Welcome back to episode... Oh, I don't know what number it is.
You're going
to
number it?
Well, I was going to try and number it, but then I forgot what number it is. What do you reckon it is?
It's about 107, I reckon.
Do you reckon it's 107?
110?
Let me have a look. I should know that, shouldn't I? Do you reckon it's 110? I reckon
could be. Could easily be 109 if I nailed it.
It's 108.
Nearly.
Yeah, it wasn't. We were in the right area. It's episode 108. We're joined, returning guest. Last time
we had him
on during, I think it was, I can't remember what part of lockdown it was, but he was working. Yeah. So we spoke to him on his lunch break. It was really fun. It was like half an hour, a little snippet episode where he was sitting in the canteen. So we thought it'd be fun to get him back in normal circumstances for an hour. And we have a right old laugh. Obviously, we have some mention of Prince Philip's passing. I mean, you know, I'd like to say that we don't go
too
far.
I hope it wasn't insensitive, but, you know, because it's sad when people die.
I think it's sad. We do point out that it's sad when anyone dies, but we do then probably make some slightly crass jokes. But if you've listened to the previous 107 episodes, I think you're on board.
It'd be weird if we didn't, but yeah, RIP Prince Philip.
Imagine this was the one that broke the camel's back. After some of the things we've said on previous episodes, they just hear one joke about Prince Philip and they go, not for me, thank you. I am cancelling my subscription.
All the pedo jokes are absolutely fine.
But that 99-year-old man dying.
We should have the intro music as like something royal.
Oh, we should actually. Or should we make a new dirty track?
Should we definitely not?
I won't lie, the amount of work involved in that does mean it ain't going to happen. But it's
do you
nice
think you
to
can
dream.
Knock something up throughout the night?
Yeah, that's it. I'm just going to knock up a royal piece of music. I don't even know what that means.
Just get an orchestra in or something, be all right.
We should. In hindsight, it'd be fun. It would be fun to. I mean, it'd get us in trouble, I reckon, if we released a sort of royal track, a sort of like our previous song, but released one about the death of Prince Philip.
I know. We should release another tune as well, one for summer 2021.
I think we're going to. I sent you a little beat that I laid down last
week.
Yeah,
I like that funky beat, man.
Yeah,
that was
good,
a bop.
But, so that might be the makings of our summer hit. Where Prince Philip at? 2021. that is not what's going to be called. Anyway, kick back. Thanks to all our patrons for signing up. You can watch the videos of the podcast and extra little catch-ups on patreon.com/wearetvi.
We do a get-together about once a month where we get quite a few people. It was nice, wasn't it?
Yes, it was really nice last time. It was lovely. But other than that, if you don't sign up, you still get to listen to a really funny hour of chat with us and Jimmy James Jones.
Thanks for listening.
I'm also recording. We're back, everyone. Welcome back to TVI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean here. And Triple J.
Okay, cool. Let's show if I should. Thanks, guys.
Jimmy James Jones.
We do half an hour first and then we bring you in. Is that all right?
It's like open spots with 5 minutes and then you get a 10.
That's my comedy career so far.
So you did, because you came on last time, but you were actually at work.
Yeah, I was at work, yeah.
So we only did half an hour. So we thought, let's just do another one. It was really fun.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me back. I loved it.
What a day to join us as we mourn the passing of His Royal Highness Prince Philip. Do you know what? I've never been so glad to not be in the UK for an event.
Yeah.
Because my family's Irish, so I'm not a fan of the royal family. But at the same time, I'm not going to revel in the death of a person. But at the same time, like, what I wouldn't do would be like one of these fucking flag wankers tossing himself off over the, you know, sort of,
just checking my background for my flag. Nope, it's on the other side. It's behind the computer.
Your queen plate you've got on the wall.
Lady Di Coffee. I just start
under the bottom of the mug that says gone too soon.
It's okay. It's a picture of the car wreck.
It's one of them ones when it heats up, they're just clothes come off. but anyway, what I'm saying is, I what's it like currently on the ground in the UK as people get to deal taking the news?
I couldn't watch EastEnders last night. It pissed me right off. It's Friday as well. It could have been an explosive episode.
What, they cancelled EastEnders?
Yeah, man. No EastEnders.
What is it? Seriously? I didn't know that.
Yeah, me and my missus were sat down. We were getting ready. We were like, all right, Friday night EastEnders. Nothing.
Oh, my Prince God.
So Channel 4.
What were they showing instead? Just footage of Prince Philip.
Yeah,
just doing shit.
And it's mad because I didn't even... my missus had to tell me who he really... Because I just thought he was a part of... I didn't realise he was like shagging the Queen and that. I didn't realise that was his thing.
I don't know about at the end he was doing that. Yeah.
That's how he died.
That how he died?
He went out doing what he loved.
Yeah.
Snorting lines of coke off the Queen with the Queen's photo.
Oh, God.
Sorry. RIP, man. It's never fun when someone dies.
No, this is the. I think I said this before we hit record. Like, I'm not. You know,
I mean, it is if they're like pure evil.
I don't. I'm not going to.
I didn't know this geezer,
really. I'm not celebrating the fact that. He's dead. I find it so ridiculous the way English people, like, when I say English people, a certain type of English person reacts to anything to do with the royal family. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I agree with you.
Royalists.
Yeah,
I think it's a generation thing, maybe. Yeah.
Would you like probably?
Well, like the older generation, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there are a new wave of like them sort of Brexity types who just think there's something innately, well, if they say British, but you know, I don't know any, most Scots I know don't have any time for the royal family. You know what I mean? It is very much an English thing. And I just think it's, I get there's going to be some harsh shit said on Twitter. You know what I mean? There's going to be people seeing some jokes that are going to, you know.
Julia, you posted quite a funny one. I think it was yesterday, actually.
What was it?
Oh, yeah,
it was like DMX, the same in relation to DMX and Prince Philip, but it did make me laugh. And I thought, fucking hell, Julia, man.
Your retweet, Brutton Broken, was it?
I don't post anything to do with the royal family. I'm black already, so I'm not trying to.
No, I'm joking.
You don't want to make any lists.
Nah, Meghan's already fucked up for us, so I'm not fucking getting involved.
What was your tweet, Julian? I didn't see it.
It was just I didn't know DMX's real name was Philip. Because they both died, didn't they, yesterday?
Yeah.
That's the only one I've been posted about.
Well, DMX really came out of nowhere. That's a shock. Obviously, it's not a shock Prince Philip died. He was 99 years old.
DMX was only like 50-odd, wasn't he?
That's it, 50.
Yeah. 50, yeah. Wow.
So that's the one that got me. Prince Philip, I just thought, wow, he's been dying for years. I didn't realize.
I know. I thought he was dead already. I thought he was dead when he was in the back of that car.
But what was the
He looked so well. I mean, it was such a shock.
Such a shock.
Oh, bless him.
I mean, you know, he's one of them old celebrities where you always think, well, it's only a matter of time, isn't it? What's the DMX was a shock because, like, there was just about 2 days before you suddenly heard he was in hospital, and then it was just because I've not really heard much from him in the last few years. So, like, you know, it's one of them you sort of forget how seminal he was for a period of time.
Yeah, I almost forgot that, and then it's only when he died I realized how much of an impact on my childhood, because that's all we had. And I remember when I was a kid, and he's got this album called Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. And my mum's proper Christian, and on the album cover he's like with all blood down him. Yeah. And I remember my brother brought the album home. My mum found it in the room, and we were grounded for like 2 weeks because she was like, "You bringing satanic stuff into the house?"
Shit.
So we had to listen to it in secret. You'll be like, "Absolutely."
Makes it more exciting, though, doesn't it?
Definitely.
You're allowed to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, meet up after school. Be like, "Oh, meet me in your room. Just stick it on. Just put it on loan." Just get angry.
Have you seen? There's loads of stories going around, and it's a weird person to equate him to. But it's similar. Do you remember when George Michael died? And it's similar. Like, you've not really heard much from him in a few years, and then all these amazing stories came out of stuff that he did in private. These stories about DMX, like. Somebody's like, there's stories about, like, they were just working in a fucking restaurant and he just nipped back and helped doing the washing up and, like, he was just in town. He was like, "I've got nothing else to do." And, like, and he just, there's loads, like, George Michael apparently had loads of them. Like, it's always nice because, you know, I think we all think most celebrities are ultimately self centered arseholes. So to have somebody like who's that big and famous to just do nice things, I like that when it comes out. Yeah, it's not. You know, you're not really getting that with Prince Philip, innit? It's normally, he said something weird to me at a Royal Variety performance.
That's all I'm seeing at the moment on Twitter. A lot of stuff that he's just cussing people out, like a lot of racist views, a lot of his own personal.
Well, I think he was a 99-year-old posh English bloke. I don't really think he was mixing with too many people from different backgrounds in his youth, innit?
Fucking 10 people. I said, "What did you think he was going to be?" He had no black friends, essentially. His dad owned one of us. Like, if we're not...
Yeah.
I don't expect him to be like, "Oh, black people." No, we supposed to work for him.
Yeah, like, it's going on? I do. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I find it funny when, like, you know, that doesn't excuse it, but it does sort of, you know, to expect anything better from him. It's obviously...
But not all 99-year-olds are racist, are they? Like, I guess.
I mean, I would say...
Most of them are dead. most of them died in their 70s.
Yeah, I don't know what the statistics are on it, but it's you know, I do think, you know, it's like when that whole Meghan thing was happening, and they were worried about what color the baby was going to be.
Yeah, I bet, like, it was him. I bet it was Philip.
That's what I thought. Said it,
and him died before he could get in trouble. Tricking the book.
Oh, I'm going to get grassed. I might go and die now.
Looks like they're onto me. I'm going to call it a day. Yeah, yeah.
There must be an age you get to. You know, I've heard stories like that. Well, I've got, who is it? Is it my, it might be my wife's, like, grandparents or something like that, where one of them, like, they did that classic thing. You hear these stories about romantic stories where they've been together for 60 years. And then one of them dies, and the other one just dies, like, the next day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's
really
lovely. I do think there's some age you get to when you can just die at will.
Hanging from a noose. Not really. They spent all that inheritance money on ketamine. They died at Glastonbury, fucking on the big stage.
No, but, like, I do reckon there is an age where you can just die if you just will it enough. You know what I mean?
I think a lot of it is mentally giving up, isn't it? Like, mentally just giving up, I guess.
Some people just hold on. Do you know when you see them old people, like, and they, like, you see a news story about somebody who made 100 and the video, like the footage of them getting their letter from the Queen, and they've just got that old person like look like they're constantly scared.
It's weird how Philip didn't get his letter from the Queen, isn't it?
She could have sent it earlier.
You're fucked.
She probably sent him a WhatsApp message or something.
Oh, come on now.
It's old man like this.
They just look so, they look so sad, don't they? Them old people that are just like, you see them on the news getting their letter and they just look in pain. They're looking
They've not even got the muscles to close their mouths.
But they're just I'm not saying it's sad. I'm saying it's the opposite. It's them people are literally holding on to life. Like I'm not ready to die yet. I'm sticking around. And there's something to be said for that. But whereas some people just, they're quite chilled and old and they just decide, nah, mate, now is my time. And they just go to bed and just die.
That's it. Yeah. And I'm just going to go. There's something to
be said for that. I think that's how I'd love to go. I'd love to go. Like, imagine just one day, just like, just deciding that, oh, I'm just going to shut my eyes and die. I know it sounds quite bleak, but I actually think that's something quite honourable.
I think that'd be the best way to go, to be completely honest with you. Yeah. Especially when you
go out like a hero or something, though, didn't you? Like, just a fucking hero.
You ain't going out like a hero.
I'm going to go out like a loser.
You're going to go out. Like, you're gonna be chased in a car on the news. Like,
what happened to Julian? He got shot doing a burglary.
Got shot running away from the police because
he had
his hard drive.
He got shot in the riots carrying a telly out of Curry's. He got shot dead trying to fucking make Christmas better.
No, I don't. I mean, when you say a hero, all right, well, this is a nice conversation.
I mean, like saving someone from like getting hit by a car, like saving a child or something.
That would be, I mean, the dream, I suppose, is to go out in some way that means something.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But would you not rather go out rather not die, but have left like sort of like a legacy behind?
I feel like I have, Jimmy. What are you saying?
No. I mean, in general, no.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? 112 episodes of pedo jokes.
I mean, if that ain't a legacy, man, I don't know what you're implying. I hit my 100th pedo joke and then tap out.
I think that's me.
On air. He just shuts his eyes and just dies on camera.
He just dies like cogs.
Oh, God. All right. Fair enough. Yeah, you look
good. Oh, man. It's I don't think
death is scary. It does a little bit scary, a little bit. I don't know. I'm kind of all right with it. I've just been on my mind a bit lately. I think with so many people are always dying, though, aren't they? Obviously,
I have heard that. But you've said your family were religious. Have you kept any of that? Are you in terms of death, afterlife, any of that business?
I think like most people, I'm religious when it. When I need to be like, my knee hurts. Like, Jesus, please help me.
When your team are 2-1 down at half time.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've been religious all week with Arsenal because they're so flipping. Like, please, God, please.
You made your peace with God. You become best mates with God all week.
Please help me here. But the thing about religion and even Christianity or whatever it is, whatever religion you are, it's when things are going well, I'm never like, oh, yes, Jesus. It's only when things are like, oh, Jesus, please.
When you're on the motorway.
When things are well, I'm like, well, this is all my... This
petrol light comes on. It says 25 miles to the services. Then you get your fucking rosary beads out.
Hold it while you're driving.
Start putting a prayer mat down. Which way's Mecca?
What was it?
Baptizing yourself with your Evian bottle.
Oh, do you know what? Have I ever told you I've got a bottle of holy water from Mecca?
Oh,
which,
yeah.
For somebody I know.
Well, you're gonna put in it in a bong.
I'd
like to have holy. I like all that stuff to be.
I love holy water. I've got loads of holy water at home because I was raised Catholic. So like I still have this fondness for religion, even though I'm similar in that I'm lapsed to the point of I don't think it's something I think about of a day, But then now and again, it's almost like a little muscle memory thing of like,
that's it, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's sort of anything, you know, if I walk past a church, I always sort of have a little, I poke my head in and dip my fingers in the water. And...
Sorry.
He can't help himself.
No, I do. I mean, I love churches. I feel quite drawn. I never grew up religious. Like my mum and dad were never. There was like a Bible in the bookcase, but like no one ever. In school, we used to do like the Lord's Prayer and stuff.
Yeah,
I think I might have got it from that, maybe like from school a little bit. And I used to pray as a kid and stuff.
What denomination was your family?
My family. No, they weren't really. Oh, sorry. Thought it was all about me. Oh, mine. Well, let me trace back. Well, it all started, Kyle, when I was born in Melbourne, and
fuck you.
Yeah, what denomination, Jimmy, were they? I'll rephrase the question using exact same words that Carl said it.
But what was the question? I can't remember. Fucking hell.
What denomination of Christianity were your family, or are your family, rather?
What denomination mean?
Well, like what is, like, what, you know, type?
What flavor?
There's different breeds of Christianity in it. Like you've got Catholicism, you've got Pentecostal, you got all that sort of
evangelist.
So that's how we
evangelist.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, so it'd be like church starts at 10, finishes on Monday, kind of thing.
Monday week.
Literally. And like we would have like Friday night visuals, so we'd have like aunties and uncles come over on a Friday night. So when most people's families are drinking and having a laugh. We got like about seven people in a two-bedroom flat in London, just in praying. 12, like just praying. Oh, a big, like,
is there a lot of singing and stuff in the evangelist church? That's like
man, loads. About an hour of singing, and then the rest is just talking.
And I do think there's something to be said for that. Like at least there's some different sort of stuff going on. Like the Catholic Church is the most boring. Like I'd actually say no. I mean, to be honest, Catholic masses are long, but there's different bits. There's bits where you like shake each other's hands and say, just, you know, peace be with you. I know at least two people that went to like a Catholic wedding, separately, two different people that just when that happened in the mass, they thought you were meant to say pleased to meet you. They were just shaking people's hands.
Pleased to meet you.
My first experience at a Catholic church was through school, like you, Julian. Yeah. But I, like I said, I grew up evangelical, whatever it's called, evangelist.
Evangelical. What's the word?
I don't know how to say it.
Evangelical.
Evangelical.
Yeah.
What a G. And
I went to correct you and said it even worse. No, it's evangelical.
If my mum listens to me, she's going to cuss me. Oh. And we went to Catholic church and drank the blood of Jesus, which was like a bit of ribena.
Yeah.
A bit of bread. And we were done in an hour. I got home and I finished. And I was like, what? We're done.
But an hour? So that's, here's the funny thing. The sort of Church of England Christians, they always go on about how long Catholic mass is, because an hour to them is like the longest thing on earth. Like their masses, I've been to like Church of England weddings where the service is 20 minutes long and you're out of there. There's no fucking about. They don't do any of that long shit like the homily and all. So many readings from the Bible. Like the Catholic mass, most people think is long. So to hear somebody say it's nice and short because you're in and out in an hour is a rarity.
We sang our little song, sat down, the geezer went on one, he had a little bit of a talking thing, took our money, and it was like, yeah, sweet, man. Like,
got in his Ferrari.
And that was
us at the bus stop.
That's the most amazing thing. Like, I went in Tooting growing up, they'd pass a wooden basket around the mass. And everyone would throw money in as a donation to the church. Like, that is... The fact that it made it round with money, like, and got to the end with, like, money still in it is a miracle.
Mate, I went to my sister's church before lockdown. Two offerings. One at the start. Oh, yeah. Oh, mate, I've told her many times they're thieving. They're literally robbing us. And they had a card thing. So no, I didn't take
it's like a fucking was like, I'm free fringe show or something.
Honestly, and it was just like, oh, sorry, I've got no cash when they asked for the offering basket. And he goes, it's okay, we take
a bucket speech at the end of the mass. Guys, it's free to get in, it's not free to get out, I'm afraid. So.
Like, you've got paid to leave, or just staying. You're there forever.
You're going to hell.
And if you stay on in half an hour, there's a show called Shaggers starts. Honestly, oh yeah, that is like brutal, man. A card machine. I think a card machine is next level, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
you know, in terms of. I get it, like on the free fringe, I get that's the thing, but like when you start seeing it, like I've seen buskers with card machines, and again, even though I know on homeless a logical people. Level that is fine.
I just touch it on my iPhone. Stick it on my Monzo account.
Transfer the Bitcoin to me if you got it. Yeah,
I only deal in Bitcoins at the moment.
But yeah, like I get it. It's the future.
There's a lot of money in churches, isn't there? Though, like, I mean, people are paying. Like, it's fair enough, isn't it? There's a lot of money in everything, though, isn't there? But like the biggest.
Now to our financial expert.
And the financial report. There's loads of money around, guys. Some people are skint. Some are rich. Back to you in the studio, Carl.
Thank you, Julie.
Have we talked about bitcoins on here? That's like it's one of them things that I
have a bit,
didn't know
yeah.
anything about for years, and I'd hear about it, and it sounded like people talking about fucking, you know, when you first started hearing about people saying they were downloading torrents, and I was like, I don't know what that is. Oh, it turns out they were just downloading films and music.
Yeah.
Bitcoin's one of them things that I genuinely was like, oh, it's just some nerd shit, isn't it? And then you start hearing now. I read something like recently that it's like people are just making millions and millions of pounds. Because they invested in it.
Yeah, there's a football team that will now accept payment of players via Bitcoin.
Lucky.
I can't remember what team it is, so I'll have to put
England
at you on Twitter. England. But Bitcoin's genuinely growing as a financial money, whatever it is, and it's crazy to me.
I did off the back of reading this article. I did some. Like, I didn't. When I say did some reading, that sounds like I went off on some mad research. I just looked into like the figures.
Library.
I've just now got a board up here with loads of string coming off stuff. But I like, and it's the amount of like Bitcoin in the last year or something. Like, and this isn't even taken into account like the last 10 years, or whatever. Like, if you look at the rate of change, if you bought one Bitcoin 10 years ago. You are now fucking, like, it's worth so much money, you know what I mean? It's worth $60,000 or something.
Fucking hell.
So some people just bought a bunch and just they've just had them sit. There's loads of people that bought them and have forgotten how to access them. Like, there's people that bought them.
I've got that. I've got like a point. It's such a tiny, tiny bit. But I don't know how to access it. I'm just thinking about looking into it as you're talking.
But it's
like a tiny bit. It's probably not a lot, but I need to try and access it.
But it's one of them things.
Might be £1 million.
I remember looking into it because I was trying at one point years ago. I was trying to buy drugs off the dark web, and you needed bitcoins to do it, and I just couldn't work out how to buy them. But in hindsight, if only I just bought some and they're just sitting in this vault.
I did buy some and then spent it on drugs.
I was gonna ask.
That's
about
how good I am with money.
I don't know. Is this? Obviously, people. Yeah, it is. I think it's on Patreon. So yeah, it'll be cool to talk about. You can buy drugs online.
Oh mate, yeah. Do you know? Here's the proper future of it now. So it's not even on the dark web anymore. I am a mate of mine, and this is totally like I'm not endorsing it or anything. But
yeah.
I've not done. I mean, I've got a 10-month-old mate. I'm not going to be doing any drugs anytime soon.
Until they're a year.
It's a year's birthday.
Do like me or wait till she's five. That's what I need.
Exactly. Fifth birthday party is going to be absolutely off the hook, mate. I'm getting everything in. It's going to be like Scarface. But my mate is really into psychedelics. And because I used to be into those, we still talk about them now and again because he's well into them. And I like, you know, we sort of have funny discussions. He tells me his stories of what he's been up to. And he buys them via Telegram. Which is that Telegram's the one that a lot of people have moved to since WhatsApp
became
sort of not as encrypted as we thought it was. And so people are worried that their WhatsApp groups are going to get hacked and we're all going to get put in prison forever.
So, I've got some wild shit in my WhatsApp groups.
Yeah,
as
mate,
well,
so. Honestly. We're just, I mean, not that. I get, I've got one mate who's like one of my oldest mates in the world. Like, it's just an old, you know, we grew up together, school and everything. He's just like, you know, he sends me, he's like a builder. Not a builder, he does like a sort of high-end building. But the stuff he obviously gets from his workmates, he just forwards on to me. So I get what's going down on building sites. And I'm just like, fuck, man, you think comedian WhatsApp groups are bad? You need to get some shit off like plasterers and stuff like that.
I know. I'm on a couple. I get forwarded a few things.
Yeah, same.
And I don't forward them. I forward them like maybe like just to one person or something. Just
to the police.
I forward them when I'm disgusted by them. I'm like, oh no.
Send to everyone in my contact book.
There was this, I won't even say what it was, but it was bleak.
Yeah. But basically, Telegram is meant to be the one that's fully encrypted. Like, it's not like WhatsApp, it's not owned by.
WhatsApp's actually owned
by Facebook, isn't it? Right? So,
yes, it is.
Telegram is like the one that loads of people have moved to, but it's obviously going to get bought by someone. They're all going to get bought by the same people ultimately.
They always do, yeah.
So, but on Telegram. Like, it's just, it's sort of this weird Wild West thing where you get given, like, a dealer's number. This, my mate was talking me through it. It's all done on Bitcoin again. And you just, they send you their, you know, their sort of menu and costs, and then you sort of just transfer them, and it's all sent as if, apparently it's sent like a fake Amazon package. Wow. So it looks just like, it all looks so, like, understated and legit. And there's no way, basically, here's where the legal thing, I think he explained it to me in these terms. There's no way of tracing that you've paid for it, so you can't get done if it gets intercepted. And there's like,
and they say it's better to have your name on it as well, just so that the it doesn't look too suspect.
Well, yeah, it's just a normal, it looks like a normal package going to you.
Yeah, for some reason, yeah.
But if it gets intercepted, it's just that you don't know, like, you, basically, how many letters
someone's
do you
sending
get?
Me a free kilo of heroin, eh? Yeah. No problem, officer. Who is this felon? I want to find them as much as you do. Let's work together.
So, yeah, that's apparently it. Like, if they can't trace where it's come from and they can't, there's no way of linking you paying them money for it. Apparently, the whole way of doing it with Bitcoin means it's not traceable to you. Then legally, there's no way of them basically prosecuting you if you've bought it. That feels like, I said at the start of this whole bit, I'm not endorsing this, but I have just explained essentially how to buy drugs legally.
You've also let the police know.
But yeah, I think they might
I bought DMT years ago. I don't obviously do any drugs anymore or anything, but like I bought DMT years ago and it was from Germany, and it had this like letter with it talking about the type of salt it is in case it got intercepted. It was so professionally done, this letter, and like the packaging.
Makes you see aliens for 10 minutes.
See, I don't, psychedelics, what is that, like mushrooms in there?
Mushrooms, acid, DMT, ayahuasca, hallucinogens. Things like that. Yes, it's things that, mind-altering ones rather than your sort of party drugs.
Yeah, I've never done any of them kind of ones, man. I feel like my head's fucked up already. So I've never done hallucination ones because, honestly, I think I'm a little bit tapped as it is. So I feel like that would just be loopy, man.
Yeah, I'm not. I would never. It's weird. I haven't. So having done loads of them in the past and put it all behind me, I know I'm not one of these people that like tells others. You know, some people
do drugs.
On your bed
behind you.
Yeah.
Do you know some people do drugs and then suddenly they're telling everyone, you've got to do this shit, man.
I know.
I find that irresponsible. Some people ain't got the mental stability to do this stuff, to do anything. Some people actually, I tell, give up booze. I've never been a fan of telling people to try things that might fuck them up.
Well, yeah, I had a really bad year, one year. And it was almost like every time I had I had a bit of cocaine, I'd always be like, well, I've got some, everybody do it too. I never wanted to do it by myself. It's really bizarre.
That's the thing, when you're on it, like when you're in it, like you want other people. It's like I used to do drinking, I'd do a shot of JD and then want everyone to. So it makes you feel a bit better.
Totally.
That's it.
And also,
that's
the thing with coke, and I think this is why it's such a grotty drug, is because it's one of them things that, like, and I think this is really common in the UK now, you know, it's so prevalent and cheap and accessible, and you can just order it via text and it shows up in the pub you're in. Like, there's loads of people, and I know this because I think that I went through a period of, I was this person, and I know shit loads of people like it, that associate it almost with every night out. Like, they basically have their second beer, and they're halfway through that beer, and the text goes, get some in. And it's just like, it almost becomes like you can't have a night out without it.
And that's when it becomes a problem. So that's when I've started putting it down. Because if I can't go out, and literally, and like you said, I'd have two beers. I won't even be out. I could be at home.
That's bad.
Ooh, I'm like, ooh, I could... And that's when I'm
little
like,
bump.
Yeah.
Horrible stuff. I got to the point where I'd order it and the guy would be, as he's delivering it, like my jaw would be going. I'd get this angsty feeling, like excited, but then your jaw would be like, I'd feel the symptoms of it before it brought it to me.
It's a terrible, terrible thing, John.
It's horrible stuff, man. I hate it. It's all just adrenaline and like ego-y and like chatting shit. And,
You know what I mean? I was chatting weirdly to a drag act earlier. I did this show earlier on, and I won't name them because actually they might not want this going on. Like, Lily Savage. But no, it was just a very funny person. I've gigged with him a few times here, and we were talking about that thing of I'd love to see you do a drag act, mate.
My daughter did makeup on me last year, and I looked that's all I'm saying.
But we were talking about that sort of performing on drugs, and just talking about like they were saying about their heyday of they were just like they got a bit. Went through a phase of being a bit too, what's the word, sort of, you know, prone to getting on it pre-show. I was saying like that there's some drugs I can't understand how anyone could do and go on stage. Like, I remember once, I could probably name him. I think he's pretty open about it. No, actually, I won't name him, but there's quite a well-known famous act.
Just guess that he's open with it.
Yeah, sorry, I just realised I was about to say who it was. I'll say it off air, but
I'll tell our patrons.
This person, it wouldn't surprise anyone that this person is a big weed smoker. I think he talks about it on stage, but I don't want to But yeah, before he went on, luckily I'd just come off stage. He just, at the interval, had this. It was the strongest, biggest fucking spliff I've ever had. We shared it in outside the gig, and I was done. I was done for the whole night. I felt sick. Like, I genuinely was like, I need to go home now and lie down and watch telly for 4 hours. And then he went on and did 45 minutes of stand-up, like nothing. They hadn't even touched the sides. And like, to me, that blew my mind as much as somebody getting on the coke before a gig. So I'm like, both of them, I don't think, are conducive to being funny.
I've done that once, but not with weed. I'd fall asleep, so I couldn't do. Yeah. I would never
doing a character act who sleeps for 20 minutes.
I'd be gone. But I'd done gigging once because I'd worked all day, and then I'd done it just before I got to the cafe on a Saturday. I was doing I'd done Top Secret, which is just insane on a Saturday, no matter what the time it is. And I was just full of confidence. I thought, this is amazing. I barely said a couple of words and they're cracking up. So I took that adrenaline and got on the train.
They were all on weed.
Yeah, exactly.
Not really.
Red toilet, down a line, I come out and I could barely speak. Straight away, no one was like, no, literally my mouth. I was like,
oh no.
And literally you could hear no one in the back going, what the fuck, Jimmy? What the fuck? Because he knew straight away.
It's so funny, Noel, man.
And I'm sweating. The light at the calf was just.
That's when the paranoia gets in your head as well. Like when you know, oh shit, man, I fucked up here and I'm on stage. Then you're
I've done 15. And then I had to, and Joseph Wilson had to close off. Bless Joseph.
No.
I love you, Peter Joseph, for your.
Love you, Joe.
And he.
That tone was not what it sounded like.
I love you to pieces, Joe, but I've told you many a time. Oh my god. And he fucking, he'd gone on after me to, just because I was like, I literally, Noel was screaming in the back.
Apologize. Like, oh, sorry for that guy who was just coked up shouting at me for 15 minutes.
I got off. I said, keep money, Noel. I don't want the money because this is my mistake. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah, yeah, I went home and on the train, I'm just sweating. And I thought, I'm never, ever doing that again.
But then never. You realised you had half a gram left in your pocket. Went to the toilet, yeah, yeah, walking, the got back on it, bro.
Got the train back.
On the train, show
in the head.
Do some do some street entertaining comedy. Got a box to stand on.
I'll never. And I thought from that day, I said, oh, I'm never doing it. I don't know how people do it. I don't mind a little drink, but it'll have to be one.
So you see, yes, that's what our conversation earlier on started with, me and this act, who we were talking about. He asked if I had drink before going on stage, and I said, like, I'll have one, you know what I mean? I was drinking a lovely bottle of Asahi Lager, and I said, like, as it's a set, I'll allow myself one, maybe two, you know what I mean? I could go to two, but, like, if I'm doing a solo show or, like, a tour show or something, I won't drink before the show, because if it's an hour long, and I've got to be on the ball, I'll wait till afterwards to have a drink. But, you know, if you're doing a 20-minute set, you can just... A beer, I think, sometimes does loosen you up a little bit.
That's it. Yeah. A beer on stage.
I don't mind that, actually. Although the other night, I sort of... I did an extra show here, because I did a short run at the festival, and then just, you know, it sold well. So, like... There was a free room in a venue the week after, just on a spot. So I just went, I'll do an extra show. And the venue, because of the sort of, they've still got certain regulations in certain venues, like because of the COVID, they didn't have any beer on tap for some reason. Like, I don't know whatever it was. So they only had cans of lager and other drinks. And I was like, I don't want to, I thought I'd treat myself and take a beer on stage. But I didn't want to have a can of Cooper's Pale Ale sitting on a stool. So I went, can you give me a glass? And they gave me this little, like, tiny plastic fucking, like, you look like you get water at a sort of a, you know.
Kids' party.
Yeah, something like that. Or a community centre. So, so I had to make this decision, like, do I have the can or do I have the crappy little glass? I went for the little glass. And it just looked bleak, like, doing a big funny routine and then leaning and getting your little plastic cup, having a sip of lager. Like a granny, innit? Like, you know, when old people buy a half of lager and you're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Oh my days, you look kill me, man.
I don't know if there's anything we're going to have to snip today. I've had to snip a bit in recent episodes. I don't think
really.
I think we're all, yeah.
No,
we're all
here.
Good for this one. Yeah,
okay,
I don't think.
Yeah. It's normally when we name somebody.
I said a name, but he's all right. He won't.
We love Joseph Wilson.
Yeah, exactly. I love Joseph.
Here's a funny Joseph Wilson story. And again, this is, I don't think you'll mind me saying this. I think it's actually really funny. Comedian Chris Martin once did a gig with him where they drove to Plymouth and back together. And Joe was driving. And obviously that's a long drive. You need to keep your energy and your spirits up. What's funny about this is Joe didn't tell Chris what he was doing. So they pulled up like halfway down to Plymouth, got out the car in the services, and Joe, without telling Chris, just went for a run. just ran off. So Chris was just watching him just run away, and he basically just did a few loops of like the car park and came back. And went, yeah, I just wanted to get some energy. Like, and Chris was just like sitting there going, "What the fuck? You've got to give me a heads up if you're going to do a jog mid drive, man.
Open the fucking window, man.
Get a diet Pepsi."
Like, he's running off to not pay for the petrol.
he just got on the car and started running. I'd have been like, what?
Yeah.
The fuck back. You still got to go in.
If somebody gets out of the car and runs, my instinct is that car is about to blow up, mate. I'm running as well.
You jump out and run as well, yeah. What are you doing? What the fuck are you doing?
It's nicked. The police have just pulled you over. He's teethed the car before picking you up at Chiswick roundabout.
Chopper. Oh, shit. That sounds like Joseph Wilson, though. He was mad like that, wasn't he?
He also once, I did a gig with him where he, this is funny, just remembered stuff about from gigs. I've not seen him in years. He once did he used to have a routine where he'd do a routine, it would come out of nowhere. It was really funny. It was a bit like reminded me of Freddie Starr. He did a flip on stage onto his, like, almost like a break fall on stage. It was a like clowning moment. And I saw him do it once, and he dislocated his shoulder on the landing. So he dislocated his shoulder on stage, got up, and then finished his set with a dislocated shoulder.
Fucking mad.
Yeah, it was mental.
What is this routine that he has to do a backflip, though, on stage?
I mean, I don't
write a punchline, mate.
Look, we've all had jokes that weren't going well and chucked something new in, yeah?
I just dropped a bit, mate.
Well, watch this.
It might not have started as the back. It might just started as a bit he was working on. Then he just added a backflip to it.
Nobody laughs. Don't get this.
He comes off. You're like, I've got a few notes actually on some of your bits. That bit. Don't do a backflip.
Yeah. So it was an actual back somersault.
No, it wasn't. It was a front flip. So he jumped. It was a break fall, essentially. So where you do a sort of, you jump, you do a forward jump quickly and you land almost flat on your back. So you jump, it's like a forward flip.
Somersault.
Yes, yes. Sorry.
You
land on your back and you almost land totally flat.
It's not like, I mean, anyone can do that.
But not to land, you've got to land it flat for it to be like a break fall, you know, like a break fall, like a wrestler would do. So it looks like they've really smashed onto the ground. Actually, you've dispersed your weight.
he dispersed all of his weight onto his shoulder ligament. He really isolated a little part of his shoulder to put all of the weight on.
Oh my God.
But the funny thing is, like, it was only a little gig, you know, the commitment to a bit. You know, I'm talking like, I think it was like...
There's a man and his dog in the audience.
It's just that. No one else showed up. They were going to pull it. We might pull it, guys.
I'm doing a double with A&E tonight. I've got to hurry up. Could you bring me on straight away? I've got to go to the St. Thomas's afterwards.
Oh, God, come on. Oh, fuck me. Very funny. Jimmy's going back in his cupboard.
In his earphone cupboard.
Oh, man. I think I'm giddy from the time. I'm tired. Like, it's late here, so I think I'm giddy, but I think...
I was going to ask, what time is it over there?
It's 10:53.
I was about to answer you. I was about to go, it's 5 to 2, Jimmy. But you mean over there. You mean over here. The other side of London.
Beth Blackheath. It is 10:53 p.m.
Oh, my God.
So it's not that late, but I mean, having a baby will, you know...
No, of course, yeah,
hours just go so embarrassing, innit? I went to bed the other night at it was mad. I got into bed at 8:45 p.m. I was reading, and at
the baby stayed up and watched a bit of telly, then joined you afterwards.
But she fell asleep on, like, she sort of fell asleep on me. So I just thought, I'm in bed now.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's lovely. But then I was reading my Kindle, and then it got to 9:10 past 9, and I was like, do you know what, I'm gonna turn this off and go to sleep. And I went to sleep at 9. I reckon I was asleep by 9:15 p.m. and I loved it.
Guys.
I woke up at what time did I get 10
up? p.m.
2 a.m and just got up. But
you rung a coke dealer.
No, I was fine. Not in this country, mate. That's one thing. I don't know if you know much about the Australian drug scene. It's very different to the UK's readily available, like, cheap drugs. That's why the UK, the drug scene here, it's all MDMA. It's all speed. It's all, like, cheap manufactured drugs. Whereas in the UK, they can ship it. You can ship in anything to the UK, and it's like all that they, you know, it all comes through.
I think their borders are probably tougher in Australia, aren't they?
Is that it's miles away, isn't it? It's so far away. How are you going to get, like, it's not like you can come in a truck starting in, you know, fucking heroin coming from Afghanistan can, like, work its way.
I suppose
from
a lot of it's
truck.
Done by ships, I guess, isn't it? Like ships and boats and stuff to England, maybe submarines.
But I reckon there's just so many routes into the UK. There's flights, ships, the Euro tunnel.
Yeah, Euro tunnel.
Whereas here, it's you know, it's just harder. There's less routes in, I reckon. So
I would have thought they could just manufacture it there, though, couldn't they?
I don't know. I don't know how easy cocaine manufacturing is.
I suppose you'd have to, grow loads of coca plants. 1,000 square miles of coca plants. Yes,
they might. Your neighbours might get a bit suspicious.
It's hard to put under a tarpaulin. Well, a lot of it's done in like South America, I guess, or these countries where a lot of it's like quite harsh, isn't it? Like a lot of slave labour and stuff, yeah, I bet, isn't it? A lot of young kids doing it and stuff.
That's fucked, isn't it?
But it's so delicious. Not really. I don't.
But do you know, I don't
do drugs.
And again, this is based on previous knowledge. I don't want anyone to worry that I'm suddenly going off the rails in Australia. it's Carl's
recommended drug list of the week. What has he sampled this week? What are you coming down off this week?
That'd be like if I came down here to get away from lockdown and sort of be with my wife's family and let our daughter have family around her, and I ended up with a massive drug habit. That would not be a good trip. But do you know how expensive cocaine is here? Like, and it's not, the quality is not reflected by the cost. The average amount is about $300, which is about probably, I don't know what the current exchange rate is. It's about 180 quid a gram, maybe 200 quid.
See, now, if it was that much here, I wouldn't do it. I would never have done it.
That's exactly right. The problem in the UK
is it's so cheap.
Well, it's not cheap. Yeah. It's still 60 quid or something, right? But it's still like, that is not the end of the world for a night out, is it?
Yeah.
Whereas here, you like, it is something that they, like, if somebody's on coke here, they're like, you're like, fucking hell, mate, he's doing all right for himself, you know what I mean? It's not like... It's not just in the UK, if somebody's on coke, you're like, oh, there he is. Somebody's just got 60 quid out of a cash point. It's not like there's no glamour to it whatsoever.
Someone got his gyro through. Must be gyro day. One line every 2 weeks.
Someone's got his universal credit in. Yeah.
Someone's spending all his rent at the dealers. job search allowance.
Oh my god.
But yeah, that's one here. So what all the drugs that people do here are like everyone does MDMA. They do caps, which is like a little tablet plastic capsule of MDMA. Yeah. Like they're just all doing them on nights out. It's gross. And like speed's really common here, which is the most disgusting drug. That's one of the worst drugs I ever did in my
life. Hangover from that, I just feel like I did it years ago, like I had a night of, you know, when it was speed, like it was like a block of it, like yellowy. Yeah, it was like base. Yeah. I think they call it base, don't they?
God.
And you're just on that. I just did it one night when I was young,
just
like a teenager.
Rushy, sort of like gross.
It's so horrible. Oh, like the next day, you just feel like emotional.
Yeah, yeah. But
we should get some in.
Stop doing a monthly special on speed.
My download Telegram.
I was going to go food shopping later, but now
you're
I'm thinking...
on Telegram, mate.
I downloaded it. I deleted myself off of it.
Oh, did you? Do you know, because if you download Telegram...
It notifies
everyone you know who's on Telegram that you've joined Telegram. So Julian joined Telegram, and it came up Julian Dean to join Telegram. So I replied. I went, oh, here we go. What are you after, mate? And then he was like, oh, shit. Does everyone
away, because for some reason your name didn't come up. Right. But then I had to have a look
at the never
photo.
Saved my number in your phone.
Yeah, I had you blocked on WhatsApp.
It's not. I've not. The only person, like, I got a message from Francis Foster when I joined Telegram. Saying, like, welcome to Telegram. He goes, are you joining the alt-right? Like me. He was joking, obviously, because Francis often gets labelled alt-right because of his trigonometry podcast, which he's not. He's, you know, but he made the joke that's apparently it's used by some problematic groups as well because it is highly encrypted.
Yeah.
Talking to Francis Foster, sorry, this is bare random, this is like proper random, but man. he's just been signed, him and the person he does the Trigonometry podcast with, I think it's by Blue Book. And there was this big hoo-ha on socials a few days ago. Another comedian just ripping into pieces for being signed.
What, ripping who really, for being signed? Yeah. Ripping them for being signed, no.
Yeah, you didn't see that?
No.
I'm quite lucky here. The time delay means when I open Twitter during the day here, I just see loads of fucking Aussies talking about Aussie stuff. Okay. So yeah. I missed every sort of UK hoo-ha
I'll have to try and show it to you guys.
So they've been signed as Trigonometry to who have they been signed to?
Blue Book, I think it is, which was great. I was well happy for him and stuff like
nice
that.
For him.
I think there was another comedian, Andrew something, and he just absolutely just online just going, they shouldn't have been signed. And I just thought, well, why would you do that to another fellow comedian? Like, I just think
it is. I mean, that's a very current thing, isn't it? The last sort of couple of years, that thing of comedians digging out other comedians has become a trend that I don't really.
I mean,
I don't think, you know, comedians have always dug out other comedians, but it normally was in dressing rooms behind their backs. I'm all for that.
Yeah. Keep it behind their backs, mate. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
I don't understand.
Where it belongs.
Yeah, keep putting it on social media is such a little, like sort of whiny little shit move, isn't it? To sort of.
I know.
And I don't know who this person is. I don't even know what's happened, but like that thing of comedians digging out another comedian for a routine or I find it just so embarrassing when I see it. I'm like, who, like,
I wonder what Andrew it was. It wouldn't have been Andrew Lawrence, I bet, was it?
No, it weren't Andrew Lawrence. It was a comedian that I hadn't really heard of, but everybody else had kind of thing. And that's mainly because I don't know, I guess I'm not really that interested,
And I get that their podcast, Francis and is it Constantine, isn't it?
They have kind of guests on that some might say are a bit controversial and stuff. And but they're both. I like Francis has always been kind of on the left and stuff.
Yeah,
they've built such a big following doing what they're doing. They probably play around a little bit with it and go to the edges a little bit.
Yeah,
and
I suppose it's also they're just interviewing people. They're not doing a comedy podcast. They're not getting getting fucking Nick Griffin on for a right old chin wag and a laugh.
They're interviewing
people who are in, I suppose, in the media talking about hot topics
that
I've of the day.
That have got books out, that have got a big following.
That's why I was confused, because I just thought, I don't understand what he's done wrong. And it was a big deal as well. It was all over Twitter and stuff like that. I'm annoyed.
I'll do some searching on Twitter post-podcast.
I'll have a little look.
I didn't realise we did that. I know it's a weird one, isn't it? Shit about comedians all the time, but when I see them, I'll also say to their face, that was me, that was mad funny. But I never mean it with malice or anything. Or Ashley Hayden. I smash him to pieces all the time, but I'll do it to his face too, so people don't think of me in the thing. There was one gig, Ashley Hayden was on. You know Ashley Hayden, guys, right?
I don't know if I do. He's not you guys.
Do you know what I mean? But he was at the Cafe Choir on the Wednesday.
What do you mean, brilliant?
He's not funny. But he's got good points. He's got great points, and it's like I agree. But make it funny, you know what I mean?
Just chuck a forward flip in, mate. If you want to tidy that routine up,
if it helps. Just, I mean, it's done well for Joseph.
Just tidy it up a bit by a few bit of gymnastics.
He was on stage once, and I filmed it. Because he was dying, and that's fine. dying is normal.
And then sees you pull a camera out.
Me, Jamali and Elliot were having a laugh, and I was like, I'm going to film this. This is class.
So fun.
And then he just went off. He went off on one. He was like, you know what? You're all dicks. You don't know nothing. You think I'm up here trying to be funny? I'm up here trying to give you real shit. And we were just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I put it online, and I was like, "Ashley's going off on one again." And we were being dicks in the background, but at least we're doing it so that he knows it's us.
There's a difference between sort of what you'd say is almost like workplace, like colleagues having a laugh with each other sometimes.
Yeah.
But there's a different thing to like somebody having a go about somebody, like, you know, there's somebody actually trying to say to an agent, why have you signed this person?
They're, I know, trying to fuck with their career, that's or trying to get people on board.
That's a sinister
trying to get like a
move.
Lynch mob going against them and stuff.
That's it, yeah. And I thought it was really bizarre. I wondered if you guys had seen it. You know,
nah. I will be having a look now, though.
Exactly. Definitely.
I do love a Twitter beef.
I'll send it to you. I'll try and find it.
Yeah, send it. Yeah, send it.
Yeah, yeah, I'll do that. I'll find it, send it.
I'll spend 4 hours, the next 4 hours.
I might stalking the person who did the tweet.
Set up a troll account and try and get stirring a bit more.
Just loads of numbers after your name and some
try
flags in
the
profile.
Fire. Stoke the fire a bit.
Oh my days. Yeah, that Francis.
It's fascinating.
Francis is a lovely guy, though. Like he
is a nice.
His name's William Stone. Sorry, the geezer was called William Stone.
Oh, I don't see William Stone.
Should we get him on to?
So William Stone is upset.
Side of the story.
Yeah.
Sounds like something that trigonometry would do. Actually, it's like I just realised I said that. That's probably what they're probably going to invite him on for a laugh.
So I'm trying to find William Hooch. I'm trying to find the whole thing.
What was the feed? So what did Blue Book respond to?
I don't think they did. I'm not sure they did.
Like that? Do you know when somebody does try and start a little, not a campaign's the wrong word, but when somebody when somebody is offended or something on telly happens and somebody tweets the show and goes, this is disgusting, this person's done this and this, and they just don't respond. I think that's the best way to deal with it.
Funny when people just go, fuck off. Yeah. Like they absolutely don't give a fuck about your opinion.
But I think
they're
not replying.
Fuck off, you stupid cunt. I've seen that before. Some builder was advertising for somebody to work for him, and he was such a working class geezer. And he's advertising to look for someone to work for him, like a labourer. And he was saying he wants a boy, no snowflakes, and he's hard worker, no skivers. He's looking for a man to work. And a woman went, I mean, it sounds like it was out of order now. But a woman went, well, I noticed you didn't ask for a female. And he went, oh, fuck off. His response was just funny, like absolutely does not give a fuck, completely unapologetic.
Yeah but I get that. I do think though, for a company sometimes like Blue Book, you know, they're just a management company, I think there's something quite noble about them not even acknowledging that the guy messaged them, you know what I mean? There's that ultimately, I think, is how to deal with things like this. Often are, you know, that's not, it's not somebody going on television saying something racist and then people going, this is offensive. Like, that is somebody who has an issue with one thing, and it's actually a storm in a teacup, isn't it? So I think sometimes just ignoring and just going, like, then that person will probably realise the day after that, oh, I've acted like the bollocks there, haven't I? I've
arguing with
badly.
It that gives it sort of credibility if it's ridiculous. Like, some things, obviously, should be called out, but like if it's ridiculous and you start arguing with it, it just gives it a bit of credibility
on the spectrum of things that need to be called out. I think an interview podcast on YouTube with two sort of centrist or center, like left, like commentators, I don't think that's up there on, you know, it's not flipping, it's not like Britain First going out and going, get rid of all the Muslims. Yeah, I mean, there's bigger fish to fry, isn't it? Anyway, we should wrap it up.
We've
talked for an hour. It absolutely flew by. we had some laughs. We talked about some things. Where can people find you? You've been churning out some videos during lockdown.
Yeah, I'm trying to be on your guys' level, man. I'm trying to get people to remember who I am.
Yeah, so you're on Instagram. You put them out on Instagram.
Yeah. Instagram's Jimmy James Jones Graham, and everything else is James Jones.
Check him out.
Check him out.
And any admin from our end, Julian?
Not really. Thanks all our patrons. The videos always go on Patreon. The audio goes out everywhere.
Now we've worked out how to put the videos up without them being wrong for some people.
It's in a YouTube format.
Yeah, we were using Vimeo before. They can go fuck themselves. It doesn't work. Some people's phones don't work with Vimeo, apparently. We found that out. after
about a year in,
and countless complaints.
I didn't think we could
use it. All right,
I didn't think we could use YouTube for it, but yeah, I didn't think we could use YouTube for it.
I did actually. It's sort of yeah, it was, you know. Anyway, it's fixed now, so everyone stop messaging Julian on Patreon. He gets stressed. Leave him alone.
That was stressful, actually.
It is, man. It feels stressful when people send you like a sort of query, because it feels like it suddenly makes it feel like work, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind that. If anyone has got any queries, feel free. But it was more stressful that I couldn't work the format.
Yeah,
and it was just kept fucking up.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's we don't need to go into any of that.
I mean, if people are asking me for IT advice, I don't know what's going on.
You need to have a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror if you're asking Julian for any advice, all right? Literally, they'll listen to you do an hour of pedo jokes and then be like, Julian, I can't get my phone to Chromecast to my TV. Like, what do you think he's going to tell you? Fucking lunatics.
Thanks for having me on, though, guys.
Yeah,
man.
Mate. No, cheers for coming back on. It's been really fun. Thank
you. We love Triple J, man. Thanks for coming.
Good to see you again.
No, likewise, man. Enjoy Australia. Look forward to seeing you when you're back.
Yeah, man. Right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you.
We're actually changing the
podcast. I think you're
Die of AIDS in an alleyway.